Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Republicans in Congress have released their budget proposals, with the House proposing a $5.5 trillion spending cut over the next decade. Most Republicans agree on items like not raising taxes and overhauling entitlements, but defense spending might be a sticking point.
USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer joins us now. He's with us every Wednesday at this time with the latest from Washington. Paul, welcome back.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Well, let's start with the story, not the big budget story. We'll get to that in a minute. But this story you've been following about Representative Aaron Schock from Illinois, you've been covering it since it broke. Your thoughts when you heard the news that he's resigning?
Yeah, well, not a major surprise. We figured pretty early on in this one that sooner or later he was going to have to step down, because it was just becoming a frenzy of stories, and every single one of them turned up something either odd or strange or possibly a violation of the rules or even illegal. So he was spending money on flights that he wasn't supposed to be allowed to take. Somebody discovered that he was billing taxpayers for more mileage reimbursement than he could have possibly driven. He used taxpayer money to fly to a Chicago Bears game. He was taking his staff to concerts. I mean, it's just, you know, after a while, they're like, okay, this is going to get old pretty soon, and sooner or later he's going to have to go. And sure enough, yesterday he said he'll be leaving at the end of the month.
And it all started with expensive office furniture based on Downton Abbey models.
Right. Well, this is the kicker of this story, and I just actually posted a column on this today, that, you know, it started with a reporter for the Washington Post going and looking at his office, his newly renovated office, going, wow, this is kind of wacky. And someone saying, yeah, it's a Downton Abbey-themed office. And the communications director in the office saying, no, wait, don't write about the office. There's nothing to see here. And that got all of our antenna up, like, well, what do you mean there's nothing to see here? And so several of our news organizations started digging into what the spending was. I discovered that he'd paid for marble countertops and hardwood floors at another congressional office. Somebody else discovered, you know, some of these other flights that were odd. I mean, it sort of went downhill from there. And now he's basically just thrown in the towel and said, I'm leaving. Now, that doesn't mean that he's off the hook if he's done anything illegal. We don't know if some of these, you know, reimbursements are actually against the law, if some of the flights are actually against the law. Somebody could still pursue him in court. We will see if the feds are interested in doing that.
You know, it seems really old school to me. It seems like every decade or two there's some weird misappropriation congressional thing going on. This is not a new thing in a way, is it?
No, and they never seem to learn. I mean, you know, there are simply rules in place for members of Congress that I think they forget sometimes, that all of this money, whether it's campaign money or the official taxpayer account or the super PAC money, whatever it is, it's not really yours. You can't just decide to spend it on yourself and go, you know, get a mani-pedi or whatever it is. You know, there are rules, and it has to be very carefully managed. And once you start to forget that and start to look at it all as just sort of your playground, you are in deep, deep, deep trouble.
All right. Well, let's turn to some bigger money items now. Budgets. Republicans in Congress, each chamber laying out their proposals. House yesterday, Senate today. Anything big, striking, surprising, first of all, Paul?
You know, I think the interesting thing on this whole budget story is it's going to be a dispute between Republicans where the Democrats don't matter. The real gist, I don't know how surprising it is, but the real sort of nugget here is that House Republicans get a chance finally to pass their long-awaited budget blueprint that would convert Medicare from a simple entitlement program to a kind of government support program that would help people pay for their own insurance. That's something that they were never able to get through a Democratic Senate. Well, now they got a Republican Senate, and lo and behold, the Republican Senate's not sure they want to do that either. So that's going to be a really interesting showdown.
So when people start talking about changing the way Medicare works or Social Security or whatever program you want to talk about, people are worried about the accusation of privatizing whatever thing it is. Is that holding some Republicans in the House or especially the Senate back from enthusiastically tackling this?
Well, keep in mind, if you are a Republican senator in a state with an awful lot of retirees and you're going to run for re-election, I think you guys have one of those. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
You know, so if you're Senator Johnson or if you are Pat Toomey, a Republican senator from Pennsylvania, it's going to be something you're going to have to face in the campaign that people are going to say, you voted to either privatize Medicare or take away my Medicare, however you want to phrase it. And it's a difficult issue. I mean, it's something that they are very sensitive about. And in the Senate, they do not do that at the moment. They're going to have to sit down with the House Republicans and figure out how they're going to pass something that both sides can agree on.
So this is an issue that you're saying on the Senate budget side, they don't do this voucher, this pay-in program. Nope. That the House is talking about.
No, they don't do it yet. I mean, they don't have it in the bill the Senate introduced today. Now, again, if Republicans want to pass a budget, and they, by the way, that is a very important agenda item for them to say that to prove that they can govern, the House and the Senate Republicans are going to have to agree on which path they take. Do they so-called privatize Medicare? Do they create this voucher program? Or do they not? And at the moment, Senate Republicans are on the not side, and House Republicans are on the do side, and that is going to be interesting.
Well, another potential room for disagreement among Republicans, it seems like, has to do with defense spending. We're seeing more hawkish Republicans, the John McCains of the world, wanting to boost spending. Us libertarian-leaning Republicans say we want to cut all spending, including defense spending. So what's that shaping up like?
Well, again, the same deal. Part of the way you do this, you all remember, I'm sure, the conversation about sequestration, where they set these across-the-board budget cut targets for everybody, including the Defense Department. Now, particularly Republicans would like to get out from under those cuts for defense spending. Well, how do you do that without blowing a hole in the deficit, raising the deficit further? And in the House, they've done it by essentially sticking a bunch of defense spending in a separate account that doesn't count for bookkeeping reasons. It's a war funding account. And the Republicans in the Senate don't think that's such a good idea. You shouldn't be monkeying with a, you know, war funding account. So that's, again, an issue where Republicans in the House and the Republicans in the Senate are not on the same page, and they're going to have to figure out how to sort this out if they plan to pass a budget. Now, there are some other things they do agree on, right? I mean, they both sides have repeals of Obamacare in these budget agreements. Both the sides have, you know, rolling back a bunch of regulations and cutting taxes and reducing spending. So there's a lot to agree on here for the Republicans, but they're going to have to work out some of these details.
All right, so they work out the details, say they agree on to disagree, come up with a plan, pass it maybe by April 15th, then what? It goes to President Obama, so does this, can he just veto the whole thing?
No, he cannot.
In fact,
the nice thing about budget resolutions is these are not law, they're resolutions. So it does not require a filibuster. Congress can do this by themselves. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, it is, they're not binding on anything. All they do is set budget targets for Congress to spend the money. So ultimately, there's a question about whether these things mean anything other than symbolism. They certainly mean that, if nothing else, that they are declaring the official policy of Congress on budget matters, even though they're not actually laws.
Well, I want to turn to one international issue that became a congressional issue recently. Israeli elections. Looks like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will continue to be the prime minister there. Some new coalition building going on. Tight race. He came to Congress a little while back. There's a lot of speculation. Was this an election stunt for him? Would it help him or hurt him? Did that trip end up meaning much from the American perspective as we thought it might?
You know, it's an interesting question to see what, I mean, 2 weeks ago it was a really big deal. It was the Prime Minister of Israel kind of thumbing his nose at the President of the United States and giving a speech that was intended to embolden the opponents of the president. Who knows? I mean, in 3 weeks will we have moved on? I don't know. I mean, I think the issue will now become when and if the U.S. Congress takes up a bill on Iran sanctions and basically tries to repudiate the Obama administration's negotiations with Iran over their nuclear program. That's when this matters. But at this point, I think Netanyahu's role and his appearance here kind of fades. And the next question is, when can Obama and Netanyahu sit down together, shake hands, and agree on something and start rebuilding that relationship internationally?
And do you think Congress wants to be a part of that that handshake meeting, that they want to have some kind of say in how that goes down?
Probably not, but they definitely want to be involved in this negotiation with Iraq, with Iran. Sorry, there's, you know, is a real concern amongst the hawks, not only the Republicans, mostly Republicans, about the administration being involved in discussions with Iran that it's going to give away too much without getting any real benefit in return. That's what Netanyahu was saying. That's why the Republicans invited him here. And we'll see if Congress tries to essentially intercede in that process.
Paul, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure, Rob. Have a great day.
You too. That's USA Today Washington correspondent Paul Singer. He joins us each week at this time with the latest from the nation's capital.